Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
Thanks for tuning in to the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves along with my good buddy, Taff Winnick.
Hello, hey, Taff. How's it going?
It's going good. We were just talking, folks, about the title of the show, Transparency. Walking in the light. And we thought, well, you know, I guess that means we're going to be doing this show naked. And so here we are, you know, not naked in that sense. Get your mind out of the gutter for just a second. But we're going to be bearing our souls here today as a way of modeling essentially what comes down to nakedness. If you take the word intimacy and break it down phonetically, like we talked about in the last show, into me see, we have to take off the mask. We have to take off whatever we hide behind, if we want to be connected in relationships, if we want to grow, and if we want to be protected from temptation, or we have the choice of hiding and clothing ourselves with things like shame, like we talked about in the last show, or clothing ourselves with whatever else we would tend to put on, you know, the facades that we tend to carry around, success, being that perfect church guy. So I say we get naked today, Taff. What do you think?
I'm down for it.
Okay. All right.
I think it's one of those, especially since you say it that way, it's one of those things where we have to decide what kind of priority safety is going to be.
Right.
Because I think that's the obstacle.
So say more just for anybody who's wondering, well, safety, what do you mean? I mean, here you're talking about being naked and you're talking about safety.
Right, because, well, I mean, if you think about it literally, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we don't all have those dreams. Maybe this is just me, but, mm-hmm. you know, where you show up to your high school graduation and you're naked, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're back in school, mm-hmm. only you're sitting in the classroom and, you know, you're in your tidy whiteies and no one else is and everybody sees you. And, right. you know, there's this, and you know, if people see your nakedness, they judge you, they laugh at you, they measure you. Mm-hmm. And being measured, being ogled, being that never feels safe.
Right.
And whether we're talking, especially physically, but even more so emotionally, because mm-hmm. I want to think of why people aren't just why are we not all transparent? Mm-hmm. Why can't we just do that most of the time? Because it's so freeing and so wonderful.
Right.
And this world, a lot of times, is not a safe place for vulnerability. What do we do to the vulnerable?
Yeah. Eat the wounded or kill the wounded, whatever, yeah.
I think we shoot them, but yeah.
Shoot that, there you go, yeah.
Right.
I'm getting my metaphors mixed a little bit here. I was thinking about how some, you know, animals eat their young. You know, we were teasing somebody about that the other day, so. But that's besides the point. What you're talking about involves...
Well, I'm glad you interjected that.
What you're talking about involves a couple things. Awareness or insight, but then also skill. So it's one thing to be aware of the need to be emotionally transparent, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here. But then there's also the skill to know where to do that safely, because the Bible talks about how we're not to throw our pearls before swines. Okay, and so indeed, the things of our insides, our feelings, emotions, relationship dynamics, how we feel towards other people and between other people, those are precious. Those are like pearls. And so if you follow the analogy, don't throw your pearls before swines. Well, it doesn't mean that those people are pigs. What it means is that sometimes people don't need our pearls, or if they can't use them, or if they can't fully appreciate the value, then we don't cast those there. Okay?
See, this is the place where I think we talk about whether or not safety has to be a prerequisite. Because I'm sitting over here thinking, well, if safety was a prerequisite, if we weren't supposed to do things that weren't safe, if that's really how we're gauging that, there would have never been Christ on a cross.
That was pretty vulnerable.
And I'm pretty sure he did that so that we'd know how to live, not so that we wouldn't have to live. So that we wouldn't have to follow that example. So danger, I mean, this is a little bit complicated right here, but danger doesn't always mean don't go there.
Right, right.
Because I think there's some payout for that. It's really being sensitive to where, especially when we're talking about, I mean, let's face it, when we're talking about vulnerability, we're talking about those secrets that we know about ourselves, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that we secretly use to judge ourselves, right. and where on this earth can we unpack that?
So it's about being safe enough, knowing that sometimes things will be painful in transparency, but not injurious. Okay. So how do we know that somebody is safe enough to be transparent with? What are some of the hallmarks of that? What are the characteristics that we can kind of take to the bank there?
Well, I think it happens in pieces in a relationship because, you know, when you have a new brotherhood, new friendship, new church fellowship, new whatever, brand new marriage, mm-hmm. You know, not many people go for like the big black ugly secret right up front.
Right.
You trot out some lesser secrets.
Right.
To see if they look at you differently, to see if they see you as a different kind of person.
Okay, so test the waters, first of all. Okay, we need to test the waters, okay?
And I think as you walk with someone and you let them know parts of you that you don't like, parts that you may even use to judge yourself, mm-hmm. if that person looks at you and doesn't, if they just see who you are in Christ, I'm remembering here where I believe it's Paul that said, I've determined to know no man after the flesh, mm. but only after the Spirit. Mm-hmm. If they really know if they look at your heart, if they're knowing you after the Spirit, so to speak, they don't renegotiate their opinion of you based on your ugliness.
Right. I love that. So good. So it's about seeing if there's a willingness as you let things unfold, piece by piece, bit by bit, if there's a willingness to look past those things, not flinch at them, and continue to see your value, all right? I also think about how it's important to observe somebody's life, all right? What are their other relationships like? Are they modeling transparency themselves, okay? So consider the character of the person that you're considering being transparent with. Okay, so this is all sort of predicated on the assumption that we need to be transparent. It is absolutely vital, okay? And I'm not asking you or suggesting you do anything that I or Taff are not doing ourselves, okay? I consider this relationship, Taff, to be one of my most transparent, okay? And, you know, I really value that. But it took us some time, okay? I mean, it took us really a good year to get to the kind of closeness and openness and transparency that we have. Okay,
it's easy to look back and see where you and I both tested those waters, mm-hmm,
right.
to see if, okay, is Jason going to judge me or dismiss me here
right.
if he knows this piece
right.
about my heart?
Right.
And you're right. It took, you know, took about a year and no real setbacks, but just a careful walking with God.
Well, and you know, that reminds me of one thing that I think can also be helpful is that one thing you always did was you always let me know what you were doing. You know, you were upfront with me that you would say things like what you just said. I'm careful to share this with you because I know it might tend to make you renegotiate something or look at me differently. But okay,
but
here
I go anyway.
Okay?
Right.
So you let me know, and that was helpful to me to say, oh, what he's about to share with me requires extra sensitivity, extra grace, and a non-judgmental stance, okay? If we just blow into our stuff with people, we run the risk of blowing them out of the water. I think it also takes perseverance, okay? So test the waters, consider their character. Also, what was the one I was just talking about? Oh, let them be upfront. Let them know what you're talking about.
I like this statement, you know, because to kind of package that, you know, so that for a takeaway from listening to the show, it's okay to say to someone, okay, look, what I'm about to hand to you, I just want you to know that you could use it to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you chose to do that.
Right.
But I'm going to hand it to you anyway.
Right.
Because that's an investment.
Yes. And how honoring, what an honoring statement to make. What a helpful thing to do to let somebody know that, hey, this is a pearl to me. And I mean, anybody with a shred of character is going to recognize that, and they're going to be able to respond accordingly. Now, let's talk about perseverance, what I was getting to just a second ago, because, you know, just like they said on Brady Bunch, Jen Brady, If at first you fricassee, fry again. All right.
I can't believe you remember that.
Well, neither can my wife, but you know I do. All right. So now here's the deal. If we give up, if we test the waters a little bit, people are imperfect. They may let us down. We have to keep trying, and maybe we try a little differently with that one individual, but we have to keep going. I cannot tell you how many times I get a client that comes in and, you know, we're working through some stuff and we're getting to the place where we're ready to take some risks. And one risk is taken. It didn't pay off exactly how that person was expecting. And all of a sudden they give up. Okay. That's discouraging, you know, but what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be a person that gives up? Or do you want to just keep going and keep trying? You know, we got to support ourselves by persevering and trying new things.
And it's really difficult because, you know, I'm thinking about my clients as well, and so many of them, you know, the work is actually coming up to the place where they're thinking about how they'd like to be. Mm-hmm. Most of them just, they're so trapped in feeling fragile.
Right.
You know, they really can't get to the place. They're not at the place yet where they're thinking about who they want to be. They're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know. Which statement that I could make is going to get me dismissed or judged or spanked here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's really their mentality.
Right.
And it takes a really long time to for them to step up to that and open up and be transparent and take the risk and... Because they don't really need one more person in their life. They don't need one more thing to go wrong in terms of that relationship or sharing that detail.
Right. It's not for the faint of heart, okay? And certainly, I mean, that's part of why when we're in those fragile places, we need support. We need help, okay? In fact, this stuff has so much to do with, you know, who we think we are, and it goes to the roots of our identity, that unless we get it worked out, unless we approach this, unless we go forward in relationships pursuing and working on transparency, we run the risk of staying stuck or going back to the old patterns, right? That gospel of sin management, as Eldridge talks about. So to help do that, you know, the research says that people who are dealing with these types of identity issues, that are dealing with compulsive issues because they don't know who they are and they define themselves by their addictions or their compulsions, whatever, they need support. You know, they need support in the form of a group. They need support in the form of counselors, all right? And so if you're just joining us today, we're talking about transparency, walking in the light with our stories. And so if you're in a place today where you don't have a group that's supporting you, TAF's got groups. I've got groups. TAF, you've got some new groups opening up. If you're interested in visiting one of our groups, call TAF at 877-223-7331. We've got groups for men, for wives, for parents at Healing for the Soul. You can go to healingforthesoul.org or call 719-590-7685. So, you know, Taff, when it comes to these little steps that we're taking here, what's the benefit of all this? I mean, what have you realized from being transparent in your life? I mean, what if somebody's sitting out there thinking, well, what's the point? All right, why should I? Give me a good reason. What would you say to that?
Well, I think it makes the way... Well, I said it like this to a client one time. I said, you know, when a guy doesn't have secrets anymore, when he really is not afraid to look in the darkest place of his life and say, yep, there I am. That's where I was. That's where I've been. Now, you certainly don't want to do this on national television most of the time. and good, we don't have an occasion for that. But when you relate to someone that way, when you open the lid and you let them see how far down it goes, and what all is down there in your heart, you can become fearless in that relationship.
Right.
You're not managing your image anymore. It's so exhausting. Right. It is so exhausting to have to manage how you think people see you.
Right.
I mean, how many? You know, how much marital fallout have we seen because of that? Just feeling like you can't really be yourself.
Right. takes a lot of energy. And so one of the benefits then is a sense of relief, a sense of being re-energized in those relationships. I know for me, since I began being transparent, and I know for me, when I started my walk in recovery, I kind of had about 7 months in there where I was just white knuckling it. I wasn't really being transparent. I was like a dry drunk. You know, I was doing some of the external things, but mainly it was just about not doing the behavior anymore. And that is not a recovery mindset. You know, that's just a mindset of just trying to, be good. It's a shame-based mindset. I'm only as good as, my behavior. So as I began to get real and put myself into a recovery group, started opening up, putting my cards on the table week in, week out, I'll tell you what, the energy that I've got has been channeled into things like creativity. You know, I do some pretty fun things. And I mean, I'm a guy that used to tell myself that I my brother got all the creativity in our family. You know, I was not the creative one, right? Total lie, okay? But I believe that lie because I didn't have people around me like yourself building me up, encouraging me, fortifying the risks that I was taking. You know, it's a risk for me to come on and do this show, week in, week out. But I've got your support, for example. I got people that listen to the show, and then now they send emails and say, hey, that really helped me. So this is the kind of support you bring on yourself when you take risks, but you can only take those risks when you have supported yourself by being transparent and have gained the energy that was being wasted on the things you were talking about before, hiding, being reserved, holding back. We need to engage life if we expect something from it.
Or performing. Mm. Performing is the big, is a huge mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's the you don't have to do transparency because you're performing so well.
Right, right. The guy that like volunteers at church 24/7, just like compulsively will do anything because that's where he's finding his value, and he's around church people, but he's not really connected to church people.
Yeah, I'm really thankful, tongue in cheek here, that therapists and ministers never do anything like that.
Oh, we're far above that.
Because right. And we do because right. We're, on some level, a lot of us are just afraid of just the reality.
Right.
I was thinking about this a minute ago. I wonder if we're free, if we can't, in the areas that we're not transparent with other people, with other believers, I wonder if we're free to be loved in those places.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't open those up.
Right. Right.
That was the thought in my mind. I wonder if, and because we don't feel free to be loved, it makes it hard to give away love.
Right. You can't give what you don't have.
Right. Does that make some sense, though? I mean, I wonder how that's going to hit our listeners. That thinking in terms of the way that we manage our image, or the things that we hide about ourselves, or the way that we don't walk in the light. I'm back to, the scripture in 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, mm-hmm. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It jives with James 5:16. It talks about, when we confess our sins to one another, the promise is that we're healed. So it's one thing to confess to God and to gain that forgiveness. But the healing that James is talking about is what comes from being transparent with one another about our yucky places. And because that's in a relational context, we're able to receive love in those places. And that's the magic. I mean, when we keep our life in the light, we are under the authority of the light, and we're around the fellowship of the light. But when we keep it in darkness, we choose to keep our life under the authority of the darkness. Mold can only grow in the dark. Okay, so it's really a choice. Are we going to continue to keep our lives a secret, or are we going to find some trusted people to be real with and reap the benefits?
Yeah, I think it works like this practically. I mean, we all, anyone who's maybe grown up in the church or, you know, has been very familiar with the scriptures or been to Bible college or whatever, or just been walking with God for a long time, we know kind of the academics of God's love. We know, yes, you know, here is love that, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And the quotes go on and on and on.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, we really need to see that show up in his body, in right. our life.
Right.
We need, as we always have, we need Jesus in skin.
Right.
And I think it's, here's how it's worked for me. I have this really amazing brotherhood friendship with you. Mm-hmm. And if I allow myself to be known and, you know, in a very vulnerable place, I'm thinking, well, you know, Jason doesn't condemn me. Mm-hmm. He in fact, he has release for me, and he's, Jason's kind of carnal sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's just a guy. He's mm-hmm. not God. He couldn't possibly love me as much as God does.
Right.
So if this guy, my brother, could forgive me this, mm-hmm. could have grace for me in this area, how much more the Heavenly Father? Mm-hmm. It's we just really don't always realize the power that we have to show people the heart of the Father.
Wow, that's awesome. And that's real. You're not just talking, you know. That's what I experience. I can tell you that this is what I experience with Taff, you know. So it is, as I like to say, a formidable bromance indeed. So, look, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about transparency, walking in the light. And so I like what Taff is saying here, and I really hope you consider it, that are we willing to be loved in these places? Are we? And look, I hear what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I've been judged, or I'm afraid of getting judged. Look, I understand that. I've been judged by the Holy of Holies in the church, okay? I mean, I'm talking about the inner circle. I'm talking about a room full of the head pastors at our church have basically, you know, completely judged me, bald face. And, you know, it hurts. It hurts a lot. But, you know, we have to risk it if we want it, knowing that God's got our back. You know, and while I was judged, I also heard that still small voice telling me, you know what, I'm going to redeem this. What's your choice? Are you going to get bitter because you've been judged?
You're going to hide again?
You're going to go back to hiding? Are you going to get scared back into, you know what, isolation is just so much more convenient? Or are you going to get back up? Try again. So what, have you been judged? Go to a new church. You know, there's plenty of churches out there. So a friend turned out to be not as good a friend as you thought. Well, you know what? There's other friends. Look at how many people you've already been friends with in your lifetime, and how many more are you going to have? Right. Let's not put all of our eggs in one basket, okay? Yeah,
even betrayal doesn't need to change the whole game.
No, in fact, there's some suffering in there that can be redeemed, okay? Our society, we're talking about this with our producer, Mike De Herrera, today, about the idea of, you know, redemptive suffering and how we abhor that idea. It's so politically incorrect, the idea of redemptive suffering. But isn't that exactly what Jesus did on the cross? Are you willing to put yourself in a position that you might get hurt for the bigger picture? Are you willing to do that not only for yourself, but for what God might realize in a bit of glory in your life because you did? Okay.
Or are you willing to just believe in brotherhood or even love itself when someone somewhere destroyed that in you?
Right, right. Absolutely.
Are you still willing to buy in?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's huge. It's a big question.
Speaking of huge, hey, have you tuned in to the Pure Passion TV show yet? I've been hosting the show here for the past half a year now, and the episodes are online. You can watch them on the internet and streaming video. Go to purepassion.us and check it out. Let us know what you think. Did you enjoy today's show? Well, send us an email and let us know what you thought. You can reach Taff@legendcounseling.com or me at help@healingforthesoul.org. Do you have suggestions for future shows and topics? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.